course, I remembered where I left off. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a trained professional who sometimes gets the sound right. This is Martin Zender, and this is the Tuesday edition, is that right? Yes, of the Revelation series. I left off in 1 Thessalonians. We were talking about being prepared or not being prepared. I said I was persuaded that you are the prepared kind of people, because here you are listening to this show every day, not only because you love me, and not only because the show is the most entertaining show on the scriptures, on the internet, but I guess those are good enough reasons by themselves. But we go into detail, and we go into the scriptures. We're going verse by verse into the Revelation, the book of Revelation. We've been doing it for, well, it'll be 2 years in September. We're not quite in September yet, but hey, time marches on. Want you to be prepared, but you don't have to be. In the gospel of grace, in the gospel of the kingdom, it's a different gospel, a different message. It's for Israel. You must be prepared. You must be like one of the 10 virgins. No, the 5 virgins who had oil in their lamps. You have to be ready. He who overcomes will I give to eat from the tree of life. We don't have to overcome anything. We can sit on the sofa and watch daytime television, God forbid. But you can do it. You can have no purpose in life visibly, and you can still be saved by virtue of your association with Jesus Christ. Now, let's dial it back one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. Now you brethren are not in darkness. That's you, brethren and sistren. My brethren and my sistren, you are not in darkness, that the day may be overtaking you as a thief, for you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. Being optimistic here, of course. But we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Consequently, then, we may not be drowsing, even as the rest. The rest of the world is drowsing. It will be as in the days of the, as in the times of Noah, when the populace was drowsing. This is a figure of speech. They were just like, whatever, man. Jesus is coming soon. That's okay, man. Give me another hit of that. They didn't care. They were oblivious, like Cheech and Chong. Consequently, then, we may not be drowsing, even as the rest, but we may be watching and sober. Those who are drowsing at night. Those who are drunk at night. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober, putting on the cuirass of faith and love. A cuirass. I didn't have time to get into that in detail yesterday. A cuirass. I believe the King James probably has breastplate here. A breastplate was a piece of armor, but it's incomplete. Don't give me no breastplate. It just covers the front of you. What happens if you're George Custer and you're fleeing from the Native Americans with their bows and arrows? You get it in the back. So you don't want a breastplate. You want a cuirass. A cuirass was a piece of armor that went all the way around, covered the front and the back. That's clever, especially if you're George Custer. Now, the cuirass of faith and love. Paul uses similar language in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's talking about the armor of God. The cuirass of faith and love. You not only left people in front of you, but you left people behind you. That's my take on this, the cuirass. If it's a cuirass, it goes all the way around, a cuirass of love. I show you love. You better cover your back with love, because people are coming at you from the rear. Remember, I told you this, Martin Zender. Martin Zender told me they'd be coming from the rear. He told me. So I have the cuirass of love. Covers my back, covers my ass, covers everything back there. Backs of your legs, your Achilles heel, Achilles tendon, hamstrings, back of your head. Watch that, buddy. You're going to get clubbed back there from some haters. Haters. Show them your love, because you have the cuirass of love. And the cuirass of faith as well. Satan will hit you from the back. But I think in the faith department, his most horrible attacks are frontal attacks from loved ones, from people, your family members, your friends. It takes a real faith all the way around to endure this kind of thing. So we want these things on you. I want these things on you. Paul and I, we discussed this. Paul and I did. And we decided that we want you to have the cuirass of faith and love. Now, We talked about this too. This was Paul's idea. I said I agreed with it. Put on the helmet, which is the expectation of salvation. This is a helmet. A helmet covers the brain. I want you to have a brain for salvation. Let's look at this again. See, once again, I'm not even getting to my key passage because I get sidetracked by all these delicious little rabbit trails, otherwise known as the trails of rabbits. And that's where I am now. And the helmet. What is the helmet? What is the thinking? The expectation of salvation. This is the thing. Some people are telling you that the snatching away of the body of Christ is hundreds of years away. And they say they have proof. Really? No, they don't have any proof because nobody knows what it's going to be except for this. Paul says that we are to expect it. Paul says it is to be a continual expectation. We are to be looking for the Lord out of heaven, looking. And this is for all generations of all believers in the body of Christ. There was a time when Paul writes 1 Thessalonians right here in chapter 4, which we read yesterday, that Paul himself believed that the snatching away would occur in his lifetime. He did. He expected to be of the snatching away. But by the time he writes 2 Timothy and he's in prison, he says, I'm a libation about to be poured out. But he didn't think that way at this time. And people ask me again, Martin, when do you think the snatching away of the body of Christ will occur? What do I say? My standard issue answer, you can steal this from me, borrow it, whatever. I'm happy about it. 5 minutes from now. 5 minutes from now. This is my helmet. It's called the expectation of salvation. Someone can say, well, Martin, you know, I believe it's 600 years away and I have proof. Oh, yeah, show me that. Show me that proof. You don't have proof. I'm sorry, but you don't. You can say, well, I'm still expecting it. Yeah, but we're children of the light and of the day. And the night passes, but the day is dawning. And if Paul was looking for it, Paul is looking for it. Verse 14, if we are believing that Jesus Christ died and rose, verse 14 of the previous chapter of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. Let's go to 15. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we the living who are surviving to the presence of the Lord should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. Thereupon we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away together. Last verse in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So that console one another with these words. It's a consolation. Not only concerning our loved ones who have died believing in Jesus Christ, but this was written to a people who were suffering persecution, the Thessalonians. You especially see that in 2 Thessalonians. And what comfort would it be to people to say that, don't worry, you will be delivered out of your trials maybe 55 years from now. Oh, thanks, Paul. Makes me feel great. No, it's an imminence, the imminence, looking for the Lord. A. E. Enoch, who in his day, in his era, I believe, was a man, most astute man on the planet as far as understanding the scripture. He translated the scripture, understanding God's program today for the body of Christ, understanding the call of Israel. This man, at age 90 in 1965, would have himself wheeled out to his balcony. And I saw that. I saw it in a little balcony area outside his bedroom, wheeled out to look for Christ. We are to look for Jesus Christ out of heaven. Sounds like a fantasy. Well, it would be if it weren't written in the freaking scriptures. If it weren't part of our evangel. Which it is. It's not fantasy, it's reality. How could anybody believe this unless it was written down? It's so true, it's so real. I'm actually going to get to my main verse here, possibly. So the helmet of expectation, Paul and I want you to have this, expectation of salvation. For God did not appoint us to indignation. That means that we are not going through the day of indignation, because we're not appointed to that, but to the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the salvation similar to the salvation of Noah, when God had Noah build a big boat. And that boat, if you got on it, it was covered with pitch, which was tar, and it was watertight, it was waterproof, it was seaworthy. Good thing, because a flood came and killed everything on the planet, except for 8 people and maybe a handful of mosquitoes. Destroyed all the birds. I talked about that a year and a half ago from Brazil. I told you that the birds got whacked out of heaven by the canopy of water that broke above. So Noah had to take birds on the ark. Side issue. Very important, though, to the birds. So we are appointed not to indignation. We're not going to go through the tribulation, but this is what we're appointed to. To the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, that whether we may be watching or drowsing, we should be living at the same time together with him. That's verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And then Paul uses the same delightful phrase that he used in the previous chapter when he taught on the snatching away. Wherefore, console one another and edify one another. That's what he said over here. So that console one another with these words. Paul loves that word, console. It's like the pet. You pet a pet, right? To console the pet. If there's thunder outside and your dog can't stand it, or our dog, when I was growing up, over the 4th of July, hated fireworks. Buff for short. We had to console Buff because the stress was too much for her. So we would pet her, give her Ritz crackers. She loved Ritz crackers. All you had to do was say, "Hey, Buff, want a Ritz?" She'd go crazy. "Yeah, want a Ritz?" Nothing else would work. "Hey, Buff, do you want an Oreo?" Nothing. "Buff, how about a Toll House cracker?" Nothing. "Hey, Buff, want a Ritz?" So look, this is the same kind of word. Hey, snatching away 5 minutes from now. Prepare yourselves. Console one another that you're going to be living with him whether you're watching or drowsing. Hey, you like watching Ellen every day? You like sitting on the sofa eating Cheetos at 10 a.m., drinking a beer and watching Ellen? Well, guess what? I have a word of consolation for you. I'm going to pet you in the middle of your trouble. Here it is. Whether you're watching or drowsing, you can be watching for the Lord or you can be watching Ellen. We're going to be living at the same time together with him. It's true, you're not exactly suffering for the Lord. You are suffering because you're watching Ellen eating Cheetos and drinking beer and sitting on the sofa at 10 a.m. That's suffering. But it's not the kind of suffering that would result in a ruling and reigning together with Christ, if that's all you're doing. Don't get me wrong, please, folks. I'm all for recreation. I myself, quote, unquote, waste a lot of time on YouTube. But I'm talking about a career couchist, a person for whom Ellen is just chapter one of a novel of time-wasting enterprises that stretch into the night. I am not criticizing people who appreciate the occasional recreation of television. I get it, folks. Look, I'm no hypocrite. I'm on YouTube. I'm fixated on Judy Garland right now for some reason. Crazy about Judy Garland. And so I'm watching interviews of Judy Garland in my spare time, in the evening, at the end of the day. Okay, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I like to hear "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." Tears stream from my eyes when I watch that dear, dear, dear girl sing that song. So, tomorrow, I do believe, back to the seventh bowl. introductory notes, introductory thoughts by yours truly. Then we will sweep up on any details we missed. Gonna take a few days, maybe still. Then we're gonna go into Babylon. Brace yourselves. Cover yourselves with the knowledge. This is not your evangel. We're looking into it as spectators. We're on a tour bus, safely ensconced in the bus, driving through this land. And when we get through it, we're going to hit the accelerator and accelerate at 100 miles an hour back to our evangel.